You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
I've had an awesome week myself, some of our team, and some people from our church. We were at Hillsong Conference. I just wish I could talk like Brian Houston without losing my voice in 8 seconds, right? We're at Hillsong Conference, and it was amazing. We heard Carl Lentz, John Gray, Stephen Furtick, Brian Houston. Just an incredible week, hearing from some wonderful people of God, just encouraging us. And so I'm fired up, and I'm ready to preach. My wife, we only figured out like basically 2 days before we were going that my wife could actually come, and we found a sitter for one night. And but my plane was booked out, so we booked her on another plane. She came down 2 days after me, and then she was leaving as well on a different plane. I was on American Airlines, my wife was on United Airlines. Nothing against either of them, but this is the story. And then as we're about to leave, this storm from the devil comes through and just grounds planes everywhere. Like, you know, I'm like, man, you know what? These New Yorkers need to toughen the heck up, right? Like, come on. In Iowa, we fly through storms. We have storms, but we fly through them. If there was a tornado out there, Iowans would be like, come and get me. I'm flying through you. And we'd be fine, right? But not in New York. They canceled all the flights. And then they finally let a couple of planes out, and because we were on different planes, they started letting planes go, and we're like, yes, all right, so we'll go on my plane, and Lauren's plane leaves an hour after mine, and they're letting planes out, and hers, they're saying that hers is going, and mine is going, and they let mine out, and then like 2 minutes into the air, because I still had my phone on, 2 minutes into the air, my phone dings, and my wife's plane has been grounded and cancelled, and she's not coming home till Sunday night. And I'm like, oh, all right then. I'm going to figure this weekend out. I got kids. I don't even know how to look after them. What do you even do with 4 kids when you don't have a wife? Like, what do you even do? Like, I don't even know, right? Like, she tells me what to do. She's like, well, you get one wipe and you go from the top to the bottom. And I'm like, but what if there's lots of poo? Like, I don't use like 70 wipes? I don't even know, right? So anyway, I figured it out. Got life to happen this week. But anyway, my wife is not exactly roughing it. We stayed at a friend's house over there, which is a massive, beautiful home right on the bay. There's a pool and next to it a 40-foot boat. And she's just sitting there looking at the bay. And she's really doing it rough, you know. Just wishing she was with me wiping kids' bottoms. She's just wishing that she was here doing that. So anyway, but that's where she is. And for those of you wondering, did that dude like straight up leave his wife and kid in New York? No, we're on different planes, all right? Different airlines, all right? I didn't have a choice, okay? Good. Anyway. Did y'all enjoy the fruit and veg sermon series last couple of weeks? Was that good? Come on, was that good for you? Good. I'm just saying, last night there was less people because Saturday night and they cheered louder. Was that good? Okay, good. Y'all are here. Fantastic. And so that was a good sermon series, all about stewardship, really, isn't it? Right? Like, you know, everything that we have comes from God, and our job is to steward what God has given us in a way that honors Him. I want to encourage you to get both of those messages, part one and part two. You can watch them online at myeternity.com, or you can listen to them on iTunes or Podbean. And I just want you to be encouraged and reminded that God loves to bless His people. And this sermon series, Mouth Speak Life, flows on really well from that, because we talked a lot about stewardship. We talked about how every good and perfect thing comes from God, the Father in heaven. And it's our job to look at every single thing that we have and ask, am I being a good steward of the things that God has given me, right? And that matters in every area of life, not just your finances, that matters in your relationships. Am I stewarding the relationships that God has given me? Am I stewarding the gifts that God has given me, the spiritual gifts on my life? Am I stewarding them? If I've been called to prophesy, am I being loosey-goosey with that? Or am I being wise with that? Am I not using it all, or am I using it? Are we stewarding the gifts and the talents and the things that God has given us? And this sermon series is all about our mouths and our tongues. See, it's funny to think about it like this, but your mouth is a gift from God. You know that, right? Because what did Scripture say? Everything that comes, every good thing is a gift from the Father. Your mouth is a gift from God. And just like we need to steward and handle our finances in the way that God instructs us, we also need to look at what we do with our mouths and our tongues, and how do we steward them and use them in a way that honors God. Now, some of you are like, what's he talking about? Is this going to be that one about you shouldn't have kissed that gal, you shouldn't have kissed that guy who you're making out with? I'm not talking about any of that. That's a sermon for another day. I'm not talking about who you're kissing. I'm not talking about the food that you put in your mouth. I'm talking about what comes out of your mouth. What is it that's coming out of your mouth? Are you stewarding the gift that God has given you in a way that honors him? Or are we using this gift for kingdom purpose? Or have we allowed the devil's negativity and destruction infect our mouths and tongues? Does that sound like a word you want to hear today? Have you ever heard of Gerald Ratner? Some of you will have. Gerald Ratner was a guy who inherited his dad's jewelry business in England, and it was just one little corner store. In England. But his savvy ways and his business wiles made him a huge success, and he turned it into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stores. And Ratner's became known all around England as the place where working class boys bought working class girls their diamond rings. It's a place where a guy like me or Brandon could go and buy our darlings a diamond ring, all right? And that's what Ratner's became known for. And he was rubbing shoulders with royalty and wealthy people all over the world. He was a multi-millionaire with hundreds of millions of dollars. He was hanging out at 10 Downing Street, which in Britain is like saying hanging out at the White House. And he's hanging out with Margaret Thatcher, you heard of her. And he's hanging out with all these high-flying people. And one day he's invited to give a speech. And in the speech, he's asked to speak about how they managed to sell their product at such a low price, or at such a, sorry, not low, at such a great price, right? How do you do that? See, you got to understand something about this jewelry. Before he gave the speech, his stuff was considered the classy stuff. It was considered high quality products priced in a way that everyday people could afford it. It's the product that every young woman hoped her young man would buy for her on the day that he was on one knee in front of her. And in his response, he said this. Are you listening? Nope. You ready? In his response, he said this. People ask me all the time. People ask me all the time, how can you sell this for such a low price? Holding a ring. He's holding a diamond ring. How can you sell this for such a low price? And I tell them, because it's total crap. Because it's total crap. And to make sure that he'd done a real good job of it, he also stated that his company, well, we also sell a pair of earrings for under a pound. Now, that's cheaper than a shrimp sandwich from Mark and Spencer, but won't last as long as the sandwich. Now, you got to hear this. In 10 seconds, his company went from the best to the worst. After the speech, those wonderful products that were considered that were considered so amazing are now considered the trashiest junk on the planet. If you brought a Ratner's ring for your girlfriend that next day, you didn't love her. If your boyfriend proposed with a Ratner's ring, he's showing you that you're not worth anything to him. And then Gerald Ratner lost hundreds of millions of dollars because of three words. It's total crap. Three words cost him hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. People lost their jobs all over England. An engagement ring that was valued at thousands and thousands of dollars 10 seconds later wasn't worth the box that it came in because of three words. It's total crap. They closed 250 stores afterwards. You see, your words are powerful, aren't they? You understand? Your words are powerful, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me is complete rubbish. Right? I don't know. I've never broken a leg, but I'm confident I'd rather a broken leg than some of the things that have been said about me, right? Because a broken leg heals. See, God designed your body to heal. See, it's always God's intention to heal. He designed our body that way, right? I've had heart surgery. My heart has been ripped out of my chest, disconnected entirely, held in the hands of a man, and put back in, and it healed. That's how God designed us. Sticks and stones may break your bones and bones will heal, but names will hurt. Words are powerful. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering." I love this. "The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, 'Let there be light.'" And God said, "Let there be light." And then there was light. Let there be lights in the sky. Let the waters fill up or teem with living creatures. Let the land produce vegetation. Let the land fill with living creatures. God spoke. And light thundered from the darkness. When God spoke, stars appeared in the heavens. Planets were formed. Solar systems were formed. The earth was formed and moved and began to rotate. Life began to unfold. Life was created. The earth and all its beauty began to unfold over all the years since, time after time, beauty upon beauty. When God spoke, life happened. When God spoke, purpose began to unfold on earth and in our lives. When God spoke, creativity and wonder and joy and awe filled the atmosphere. But what fills the atmosphere when we speak? When God spoke, wonder, creativity, purpose, joy, hope flooded people's lives, flooded the earth, flooded the solar system. Changes the atmosphere, literally terraforms the earth when God spoke, created an atmosphere that could sustain life because God spoke. So what happens when we speak and use the gift that God gave us in His image? Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it eat its fruit." Your tongue has the power of life and death. It's not just a thing that your mama said when you were growing up. Your tongue has the power of life and death. We should be imitators of God, therefore, as Scripture said, and use our tongue, use our mouth to speak life. See, you are made in the image of God. As we read on in Genesis 1 verse 27, you'll see that God created mankind in His image. And then it goes on again to say it. In His image, He created them. Male and female, He created them. He created men, He created women in His image. Like Him, like Him. So when God speaks, there's power in His tongue, power in His mouth. And when you speak, there's power What are you going to use it for? Let us make mankind in our image. When God speaks, wind, substance, life, the atmosphere, the solar system, it all obeys him. When we speak, do we speak like God? We speak with the power of God, but do we speak like God? We use the gift he gave us. Did we use it as he would use it? Do we use it how he would use it? We're made in the image of God, and we too have the power of life and death in our tongues. You know, when the devil speaks, he lies. He brings destruction with his words and his wiles. When the devil spoke for the very, very, very first recorded time in all of Scripture, he lied. He trash-talked God. He gossiped. Did God really say that? Did he really say? How often do we do that? Like, it's not gossip, I'm just asking a question. Did Christy really say that? Did John really say that? That's what the devil did. The first time he spoke in Scripture, that's what he did. He trash-talked somebody, he lied, and he gossiped. I don't want to speak with his pain and destruction. Come on now. He lied, trashed all God and gossiped, and then just pain and destruction swiftly followed. God's given you a gift, your mouth. It's a gift from God. It's a powerful weapon. And when used in faith, it can cause broken hearts to be healed. You can. Your mouth can heal broken hearts. Because when you use this gift of God the way that God intended it, it has power that cuts down to the soul and does surgery on a broken heart. Come on now, you can do that. It can make people who have given up hope dream again. You know, with your mouth, you can make your husband look good. You can. Wow, my man is tougher than you. No, maybe not that, you know. Well, my man, you should see what my man did. Man, you should see his shoes on fire and his socks are on point. Come on now. You can talk about the great ideas. You know, you can lift your man up. You can make your man look good with your mouth. You know you can do that? Man, you know you can make your wife look good. You can say good things about your wife. You can encourage her when she ain't even there. You can say, hey, you want to go to a movie? And they're like, and you're like, check with the old ball and chain. But check with the boss, she ain't ever let me out. Really? That's how we're going to talk about the precious gift that God gave us in our spouses? Spouse is a gift from God too. We use one gift to crush the other gift. Let's not do that. Come on. You know what? You don't have to correct your husband or your wife in front of people. Let me tell, maybe tell them the story about how I was walking down the street the other day, and right there on the ground is $10 million. And I picked it up and I gave it to the nearest. You know what? No, honey, it was $10, honey. It was 10 million rupiah, but it was $10. We don't need to correct each other in front of people. We don't need to, oh, you got that wrong. No, not that. No, like, we don't have to correct each other. We don't have to tear each other down in front of people. We can afterwards and go, honey, I love the way you told that story. I love the faith that one day it's going to be 10 million. But just so you know, that today it was rupiah. All right. So cool. You can do that in private. You can use this gift God gave you to lift up. To lift up, to encourage, to inspire, to heal, to bless, to protect, amen? That's what you can do with it. It can bring you wealth. It can bring you health. And it can go before you and prepare the atmosphere for a good work that God has prepared for you. Your mouth is perhaps one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given you. It was involved in your salvation. What? Your mouth was involved in your salvation. Scripture says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, in that moment, life, salvation, joy, hope flooded our lives because something we said with our mouth. So now what are we using our mouths for? Don't let the same mouth that brought you salvation and rid you of your shame bring shame on other people. Our mouths can hurt people, shame people, blame people, and even remind people of their past mistakes and wrongs that God has spent years teaching them to forget. See, God remembers your sin no longer. God, I give you my life. Your sin is gone, forgiven, set free. He's not putting shame on anybody. He's not reminding anybody of their sin. He has forgotten it. God is not going to remember your sin. All he's trying to do now is trying to get you to forget about all the stuff that you keep telling him that you did. But he's like, no, you didn't. I don't remember. And year after year after year after year after year after year, same mistake. God's trying to say, forget about it. And then one day they finally forget about it. And here we come with our mouth that brought our salvation and remind them of the crap that they done. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be that person. So I want to talk about how we talk today. I want to talk about how we talk about people today. When we speak, what happens? See, someone who was highly valued before we speak 10 seconds later might not be valued at all, like a rat in his ring. Before he spoke, it was valuable, it was worth thousands. After he spoke, it wasn't worth the box it came in. Well, when we speak, we can use this mouth that God gave us to lift up, to encourage, so that when we are done speaking, someone who was undervalued is now valued. Encourage one another, lift one another up. That's what Scripture tells us to do. It says, hey, encourage one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Bless them, exhort them, encourage them, inspire them. That's what Scripture tells us to do to each other, for each other, around each other. You ask any business owner in this place, they'll tell you that the biggest killer of a business atmosphere is gossip. Gossip going on around the office, it'll kill relationships and cut productivity like that. Don't pull a Ratner's on the people God put in your life. Let's use our mouths as God intended. 1 Peter 3:10 says that if you want to love your life, that's really cool scripture, isn't it? If you want to love your life, see this heart over here? That's our love your life heart. We designed that last year for this year because the theme of our entire year is love your life, right? We're not saying love the sin in your life. We're not saying love the dumb things in your life. We're saying love this life that God has blessed us with. Life is a gift from God, right? And we don't want to take it, stamp it, and throw it away and wish we didn't have it. We love the gift and we love our lives and we're living a blessed life, right? We're living, and so we're talking about that all year long this year. Every sermon somehow is connected back to the fact that God wants you to love your life. And then so it's interesting to read in 1 Peter here that he starts with, yo, if you want to love your life, if you want to love your life, anyone here want to love their life? So 1 Peter 3:10, if you want to love your life, you got to watch your mouth. How about that? Whoever loves their life or whoever wants to love their life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and keep their lips from deceitful speak. Come on, lock eyes with your neighbor. Look him at him. Stare him down like Clint Eastwood and say, "What's your mouth?" Touch your other neighbor, say, "I'm scared of you." Proverbs 17:9 says that covering is better than being a chatterbox, all right? So we have to watch what we say. We get to choose if we bring life or death, if we lift up or tear down, all right? Oh, I had to tear them down because they were too high. What, seriously? That's your job in life? Hey, I got a great job from God. My job is to go around and people who got too much pride and people who think they're too good, I just cut them down. I feel good about myself. Really? You got a choice in life. Are you a builder or are you a demolition expert? Are you going to build people up or are you going to tear people down? You got to watch your mouth if you want to love your life, amen. Covering is better than being a chatterbox. If you want to praise him, come on. Whoever would foster love covers an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Whoever would foster love covers an offense. I love that because I think in our culture, sometimes not you, maybe your next door neighbor, but definitely not you, right? Not my next door neighbor if you're listening. Sometimes we spend so much time trying to reveal people's problems. And people love to hear about a cover-up that's been uncovered, don't they, right? I want to tell you, one of my missions is to be one of the biggest cover-up experts on the planet. I'm going to cover up what you did wrong. Yeah, I'm going to cover it up. People are like, oh, it's a cover-up. That's a cover-up. I'm like, yeah, that's what we do. Scripture says here that love covers an offense. I want to cover your offense. I want to be a cover-up artist. I want there to be cover-ups all around me. You start scratching things in my life, you're like, man, that was a cover-up. Man, that was a cover-up. That was a cover-up. Cover-ups everywhere. See, we shouldn't be out there being excited about when a cover-up is undone. I want to be the guy who's covering up people's faults. I want to be the guy when I find out that you did something wrong, I'm making sure nobody hears about it. I'm going to make sure that your life is covered in so much love, so much grace, so much mercy that nobody can even see what you did wrong. Amen. I'm a cover-up artist. That's what I want to do. Whoever would foster love covers up an offense. But whoever repeats the matter separates friends. Actually says separates close friends. Gossip, repeating a matter. What's gossip? Gossip isn't telling 20 people. Gossip is telling one person. And then the next person. And then the next person. Gossip separates friends. But God is in to reconciliation. So when God speaks, he brings people together. Gossip comes in and separates people. I want to be an agent of the Father. Amen. I want to be a reconciling cover-up expert in Jesus' name. Covering is better than being a chatterbox. Let's talk about gossip for a moment. Are you ready for that? Some of y'all are like, nah, not today. Not ready for that. Come on, are you ready for that? Did you hear that Billy Ray left his wife for another woman? Gee, she ain't even pretty. You get 2 points for that, insult and gossip. Did you hear she calls herself a Christian? She was always going to be a homewrecker. Did you see the way she dresses with those skimpy little shorts? I always felt like Steve was looking in the wrong places that he shouldn't be looking in. Makes sense to me? I'm not surprised at all. Anyway, I'm just telling you so you can pray for them. God knows they need prayer with all that garbage that they brought on themselves. Nah, sorry, gossipy Gary. You're not telling me so I can pray. You're not telling us so that you can pray or so that I can pray. You're telling us so you can feel more righteous than them. You're telling us because it feels good to know something that somebody else doesn't know. Why does that even feel good? That's weird, but it does. Honestly, like someone comes up to you and goes, did Jane tell you that she's pregnant? What? Yeah, she's pregnant. And you're like, you just feel amazing because Jane told you before them. Why does that feel good? Or what about this one? Hey, did you hear Jane's pregnant? Yeah, I found out last week. Why did the yeah, I found out last week sound just feel so good, didn't it? Am I the only one? Put your hands up if I'm being honest, right? Like, some people are like, I will not put my hand up in this message no matter what. The Holy Spirit may be sitting on my lap, grabbing my hand, and I will fight him. Hand will not go up. Come on, does it feel good to know something someone else doesn't know, or is it just me? We're weird. Why? Well, I guess we're not weird because everybody does it, but why? So we tell people things to lift ourselves up, make us feel better than the person we're telling, because we had the information before they had it. That's what you're doing, Gossipy Gary. You're telling us because you've forsaken the gift that God gave you, and you're using the same mouth that brought you salvation to inflict wounds that could possibly cause somebody to run away from the house of God, to run away from the presence of God, and to perhaps even run away from the grip of God because of the pain that you're causing on them. The same mouth that you prayed your prayer of salvation, you now use in an effort to rob someone of theirs. You have power in your tongue, church. There is power in your tongue. There is a weapon of mass destruction in your mouth. And you need to use it to blow the crap out of the devil and bring hope to the hurting and the sinful too. Oh, someone sinned. Cool. So now you want to make sure you get to join them by telling everybody, right? Is that the deal? You're like, I love sinners so much, I want to be one. Start telling everybody their junk. Come on now, we can love sinful people too. You don't need to share it to pray about it. You don't need to tell somebody so they can pray about it. Why? Because your prayers are powerful and effective. Your prayers are powerful and effective too. You don't need me to pray for them. You can. You can. You can pray for them. Your tongue is as powerful as mine. It's as powerful as your friends. Just stop, love, and pray. You don't need to tell anybody. Rather than spread chatter, cover them. Covering is better than chattering. Cover them with the same love that covered a multitude of your sins. Let it cover a multitude of theirs. When you hear something, stop talking. Love people. Pray to God. Amen. When you catch yourself about to breach somebody's trust, stop. Pray. Love. Stop. Pray. Love. Did you hear about their kids aren't vaccinated? Oh my gosh. I can't even believe right now that they would hurt their kids like that. Lucky God is a healer, or oh my gosh, I swear, their kids would be in danger. Just channeling my best Valley girl accent. Or is it Valley guy? I don't even know. What am I doing? Did you hear, seriously, they got their kids vaccinated after I showed them my blog? That is so not fetch. I can't even believe right now that they would hurt their kids like that. Oh my gosh, lucky God is a healer. Oh my goodness, I swear the kids will be in danger. Saying the exact same thing about each other, aren't they? Good grief. Or did you hear so-and-so's car broke down? Stop. Pray. Love. Stop. Love them. Pray for them. Amen. What about so-and-so's marriage? Wow, seems rough. Stop. Stop talking. Love people. Pray to God. I'm only telling you because they need help. Then help them by praying for them. Or go and talk to them and say, I heard about your marriage. Can I help? Can I tell Pastor Jesse so they can pray? Now you can tell me because you asked them. Because you're like, but we need to tell. Not without their permission, you don't. Did you hear what Pastor said? He said, fetch. No one is saying fetch. Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen. Come on, everybody. Say it with me. Stop. No, together. I said, with me. And you say, after me. You know, like, with. Not after. Stop. Love. Pray. Again, stop. Love. Pray. That's what we do. That's what we do. We be a wise steward of the gift that God has given us. Amen. Lastly, as the team comes up to worship with us, starve the fire. That's the last one. Starve that fire. Starve it dead. Just cut it away. Proverbs 26:20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a a quarrel dies down. Be the last one to hear it. Just be the last one on your chain to hear the gossip. If the Lord moves you so that it needs to be shared with leadership or people who are going to pray, you have to ask them. You do. Hey, Steve, can I share this story with Pastor Jed so we can just pray for you, man? Just that God will bless you no matter what decisions you make. And he's like, man, I love blessing. Go for it. Now it's cool. Now it's righteous. Now it's anointed. Now it's blessed. Amen. Be the last one to hear it. I've had so many relationships in my life where we've had quarrels. Dudes are good at that. Like, if you got a friend that you haven't had a fight with, they're probably not a great friend. Something about that with dudes, right? When I was in year 8, my friend threw a basketball and hit my sandwich. It's bad. That's bad. It was I don't know what you call it here, but it's like basically meat wrapped up in a wrapper and you cut slices of it. We called it Devon. I had it on my sandwich with tomato sauce. The sauce got on my shirt. Now I'm angry. So I punched him in the nose. I don't know why I did that. It's an angry little bugger. I didn't even hurt him. What did hurt was the punch in the nose he gave me back. That hurt a lot. Sometimes we fight with friends. When people start all talking about it, it's going to drive a wedge between them. I've had some fights with friends that weren't so physical, maybe hurt more because they were words. But people starved the fire. People didn't talk about it. I didn't talk about it. We starved the fire. And they're still friends today. Because people around us were godly enough to starve the fire. To starve the fire. Starve the fire. Don't draw attention to negativity. Did you hear so-and-so left the church? Did you hear so-and-so? Like, don't draw attention to negative things. Don't repeat. Don't share other people's fights. Don't love drama. Love grace. Love mercy. The devil thrives in too many words, Scripture tells us. He thrives in frivolous conversation. If God inhabits the praises of his people, I reckon that the devil inhabits the gossip of the people. When you talk about people, you're using God's gift. Lift them up. Would you stand up with me, church? When you are about to gossip, just stop. Here's what I know. Every person this week is going to be confronted with a moment where you ask yourself the question, is this okay to say? Maybe you're already in the habit of doing that, maybe you're not. What I want you to do instead is when you're about to repeat something that's not necessarily lifting up. See, I'm not talking about, like, you know, man, Christian's shirt this weekend was super nice. That was so fetch. Loved it. If you don't know what that's all about, Google it. Like, that's okay, right? Like, we're lifting people up. You go ahead and lift people up as much as you want, right? When you find yourself about to say something that's not lifting somebody up, stop and say, Holy Spirit, because remember we said stop and pray? So what do you pray? Holy Spirit, show me right now that thing that's so wonderful about them that I need to tell people. And then tell them. He might tell you something that's so wonderful about them that you ain't ever seen, and you're like, I have never seen that. I can't even picture it. But thank you, I'm gonna start saying that instead. We have a saying in the Newman house, assume the best. Where's Matt? Assume the best. Matt's a good man. He always reminds me how to speak American. And then God said, Matt taught me that. We have a saying, assume the best. Someone speeds past you in a car. Idiot, hope he gets a ticket. What? You hope someone gets a ticket? I hope they never get another one ever. Hope he has an accident. No one's ever said that, right? Assume the best. Man, they might be having a baby. God bless that baby if there's one. You know, like, just assume the best. Use the gift that God gave you for good, not evil. Ask God this week to help you steward the gift that he gave you. And let God make you the person that brings life so that when you walk in the room, it's flooded with an atmosphere of grace, an atmosphere of mercy, an atmosphere of hope. When you walk in the room, people just feel blessed because they're used to the things that come out of your mouth are uplifting and inspiring and encouraging. And you've already, before you even walked into the room, you've used your mouth to declare the wonder of God, and you've blessed that place. You let your mouth and your words go before you and create an atmosphere where something good can happen in people's lives. Be that person, be that gal, be that guy in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyway, we're going to have an altar call in a minute where if you want prayer about that, come down and get prayer. I tell you right now, gossip is an addiction. Why? Because it triggers something that makes you feel good, and then you get used to that feeling, and sometimes you need help. Just like friends of mine have needed help getting off alcohol or drugs, sometimes you need help to deal with an addiction. If this is an addiction, you know it's an addiction, or at least you'll know this week, and then you're going to say, I need help. Don't be ashamed. People have problems. I've got problems. We've all got problems. It's okay. You're still saved. We still love you. God adores you. It's all right. Just come and ask for a supernatural breakthrough in Jesus' name to break that thing off your life. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just come and get help. So in a moment, these guys are going to leave the front row there and make space so that we can pray for you over here on my left. Before then, though, if you don't know Jesus, now's the time. Give him your life. He's good. Any mistakes, any pain, shame, hurt that you've given people, he's going to forgive you for. Any shame, pain, hurt that you've received and you're carrying, whether it be because of what others have done to you or what you have done, either way, God wants to release you from that shame and pain today. He wants to make you a new creation. You know, when God said, let us make man in our image, whether you believe that was millions of years ago or thousands of years ago, I just couldn't care less. What I do care about is when he said those words, he thought of you and he had a design. He had a blueprint for you. And today, if you give him your life, you're saying, God, that thing you said, that thought you had about me way back then, I want to be that. I want to be what you intended me to be. And so I want you to pray this prayer with me and give him your life. You will live a blessed life with Christ. That I can guarantee you. So everyone in the room, pray this prayer with me, especially those who want to give him your life today. But everybody, declare with your mouth, repeat after me these words. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins. He rose again to give me life, joy, hope, peace, and everlasting life. Please forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. You call them sin. Help me to be what you designed me to be. Line my life up with that thought that you had when you said, let us make mankind. I receive this new life in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.